Hello everybody. This is the recording of the translation of Olivier's message for Sunday the 28th of May. The Mystery of Prayer. This morning I would like to talk about the theme of prayer, an essential Christian practice which remains a mystery in several respects. I will start with some quotes, strong ideas on prayer, to put us in the right condition. Then we will look at some aspects of prayer in the Bible and some theological questions that can confuse the believer as well as the unbeliever. Another time, we will discuss some psychological aspects of the practice of prayer to end with practical experiences and examples, because even if there is no single method to pray, there are different ways to enrich our life of prayer in a way adapted to our temperament. Firstly, strong ideas and definitions. It can be observed that prayer is an age-old human practice. Every religion practices a form of prayer. It is generally centered on the man who addresses the divinity to ensure his protection and obtain temporal advantages for religions foreign to biblical revelation. To prayer is, in the strict sense of the term, to speak with God. To speak, to listen, to discuss. For the Christian, God is not a philosophical abstraction. He is not the absolute or the infinite. He is the creator of the universe, the one who supports the universe, but he is also a personal God who, in his sovereignty, wanted to maintain a relational link with the being he created in his image, in his likeness. The human being is therefore the only creature in the visible world capable of living in communion with God. This relationship is lived in prayer. A Christian psychiatrist observed, "After 20 years of listening to people's aspirations, I am convinced that human beings have an innate longing for God. Whether we are religious or not, this desire constitutes our deepest aspiration and our most precious treasure. If we are made in the image of God, he must find a way to satisfy that thirst. Prayer is this means with the reading of the Bible where he reveals himself." Luther considered prayer as the work of faith and asked himself, "What is faith if not par excellence prayer?" José Martinez, a Christian psychiatrist who has written a book on the psychology of prayer, considers that it is a true backbone of the life of the believer and of the church, and that it needs to be enriched in its most practical aspects. This is the purpose of this message. Finally, John Bunyan, a 17th century English preacher, offers a fairly complete definition of prayer. To place this writing in its context, it is necessary to know that this definition was written in prison. John Bunyan was indeed imprisoned for 12 years for having refused to attend the official worship of the state church of the time, and to have held meetings for the provocation of the good subjects of His Majesty without using the official liturgical material and praying freely with an open heart. He therefore defends the cause of prayer in the face of an institution that frames, organizes, and hierarchize the relationship with God. I quote, "Prayer is a sincere, conscious, loving outpouring of our heart or soul to God through Jesus Christ. We must pray with the strength and help of the Holy Spirit for the things promised by God according to His word, for the good of His church, with submission in faith to the divine will." Secondly, prayer in the Bible. In the Old Testament, God calls man to a relationship of trust. Prayer then responds to the following logic. If God is who he is, if his revelation attests to the power, and his faithfulness, if he invites us to seek his face and invoke him in the day of trouble, then the believer has all freedom to approach him and shed in his presence the burdens that oppress his soul or the gratitude that urges him to praise. Let all the faithful pray to you in due season, Psalm 32, verse 6. And he will do it with conviction. My God will answer me, Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And there are many examples of men of prayer establishing an intimate, deep relationship with God. Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Daniel chapter 6, verse 11, three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and expressed his gratitude to his God. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, at this news I sat down, I wept and I mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Prayer has become a common practice in Israel, both individual and collective. Over time, it became organized around well-established rules. In New Testament times, the community life of the Jews shows that prayer, often expressed in the liturgical forms used in the synagogue, was deeply rooted there. The prescribed hours are maintained, and even proselytes from other countries gathered for prayer. Acts 16:13. But this authentic expression of piety has often become a mere mechanical recitation, and even an abominable religious display, a mask of hypocrisy that hides the most sordid intentions. Jesus openly disconcerts them. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Woe to you, lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you rob widows of their property while making long prayers for appearances. In this context, the teachings of Jesus and the practice of the Apostolic Church restore to prayer its true meaning and enrich it considerably. Prayer occupied a place of supreme importance in the ministry of Jesus, confirming his teaching by practice. The Son spontaneously addresses the Father with short prayers in any place and at any time. All that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. He also spends entire nights praying. The Gospels testify that Jesus prayed as no man ever prayed before or after him. His prayer is not what a mortal might utter. It is the prayer of the Redeemer, of the great High Priest who intercedes for the group of the apostles and for all those who will believe in him. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. John 17, verses 6 to 9. As befits the unique mediator between God and men, as Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. As he interceded for Peter to strengthen his faith before his denial in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. He is interceding for us today, as we can read in Romans chapter 8, verses 34 and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. One can then ask, why did Jesus choose to pray for Peter to be strengthened instead of avoiding this test? Why prayer rather than a miraculously protective intervention? At the request of his disciples, Jesus gives us a model of prayer, the Our Father. We will not study it in detail today, but note that it establishes by these formulas an intimate communion of Father with Son, confident and joyful. May your will be done. The New Testament calls us to persevere in prayer, whether it is the parable of the widow and the iniquitous judge, that of the friend who arrives in the night, the example of the apostolic church. They persevered in the teaching of the apostles, in fraternal communion, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 2:42. Or Paul's encouragement, pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6:18. The role of the Holy Spirit is also remarkable. Jesus announces this role to us in John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and it is already here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And Paul describes it in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Indeed, we do not know what to ask for in our prayers, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. In prayer, we are not alone. I find the image of perfumes in the Revelation of John uplifting and encouraging. Each had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5:8. The smoke of incense went up from the hand of the angel before God with the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:4. The New Testament insists, in fact, on the truth that our prayers have value in the eyes of God and the world. Ask and you shall receive, Matthew 7:7. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, James 5:16. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, 1 Peter 3:12. As we have seen with Jesus' intercession for Peter and for us today, prayer is at the heart of spiritual warfare. Daniel's prayers, chapters 9, 10, and 11, show us the interaction between the visible realm and the invisible. He receives a visit of angels who themselves are led to fight. Paul presents the spiritual weapons of the Christian in Ephesians 6:10-17. Before calling to pray at all times, he tells us to equip ourselves for prayer. Jenny had called out to me when we arrived in Bergerac, "Do you have spiritual courage?" I rallied to the halt prayer, and I was edified and renewed. Finally, the stirring call of Hebrews 4:16 invites us to come to God. Let us therefore approach boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain compassion and find grace to help in time of need. Thirdly, theological questions, dilemmas. Why pray if God already knows our needs, our thoughts and our words before we formulate them? Effectively, at the level of informational planning, God absolutely does not need our prayers. But we need prayer because it constitutes the essence of our communion with God. This experience of expressing, asking, and receiving allows us to become fully aware of our divine filiation. The believer is invited by the Father to address his requests to him. Call on me. When you are in trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honour me. Psalm 50:15. Moreover, prayer transforms the believer into a co-worker with God. Pascal said, God instituted prayer to grant us, his creatures, the dignity of being actors. Doesn't prayer promote passivity? In other words, if I pray, that is enough. In fact, prayer and action are intimately linked. In prayer, we access the spiritual world to essentially receive, and then we can give in the physical world. As faith without works is dead, according to James, prayer without the action is sterile. Can prayer change the will of God? Can it influence the course of events? If everything is already planned, destined, organized, why pray? We touch here on the unfathomable mystery at the limits of our human faculties. On the one hand, nothing can scientifically demonstrate the causality between a prayer and its fulfillment. C.S. Lewis elaborates on this aspect of prayer in his book, Miracles. He says that the impossibility of providing concrete evidence is a spiritual necessity, that man would take himself for a magician, it would go to his head, and he would be corrupted if he knew concretely that an event resulted from his prayer. He invites us to believe that all events are answers to prayer, whether positive or negative, in the sense that the needs and prayers of those involved have been taken into account. This trust in God's love is proclaimed by Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It is through the eyes of faith and a loving God that we discern his action. Let us also remember that we are limited by the passage of time, and that God is other, he is outside of time. On the other hand, prayer is a cooperation with God, a consent which opens the way to the action of grace. One finds in Paul's writings such close partnership and proximity that it is difficult to distinguish whether he or his human partner is acting. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For fans of manga, it's as if Jesus carried out a multi-cloning. When I act according to his will, it is he who acts. And when God seems distant, when it is difficult for me to pray, this mystery again. Why doesn't the loving God fill us with joy and wonderful experiences all the time? Examples of discouraged prophets and men of God are not lacking in the Bible. Moses, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, and even Jesus experienced discouragement. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor resisting the Nazi regime, who died in a concentration camp, wondered, couldn't God send us these hours of rebuke and dryness so that we place our expectations on his word alone? Instead of looking for a new revelation of the divine presence, perhaps I should dwell on what he has already revealed in creation, in the Bible, in Jesus, and in the church. Bonhoeffer warns against the vanity of relying on exceptional experiences, as if by merit. He says, seek God and not happiness. This is the fundamental rule of all meditation. And he adds, if we seek only God, we will obtain happiness. This is what he promised. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we consider the slack periods of prayer in the same way as suffering, we see that the Bible does not seek to know why a situation has arisen, but rather what we can learn from it in order to identify an appropriate attitude. It is interested in the productive value. in the good that it can develop, perseverance, patience, hope, a better character. Either we sink into depression, guilt, and self-condemnation, or we expect God to lead us to a better knowledge of Himself. They are two approaches as different as night and day. What about unanswered prayers? Let's skip the misplaced, selfish, immature prayers and the grudge that seems to get in the way of our prayers. Why are prayers for the protection of the innocent, for justice, for truth, for conversions which conform to the will of God, not answered? The mystery remains. We see on the one hand the generous promises or fulfilment of the New Testament, on the other hand Jesus who prays that the torture of the cross be spared him while remaining subject to the will of God. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Let us live in hope with this mystery, as Paul said to the Corinthians. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Luckily, he was not answered. Our salvation was at stake. I hope this study will lead us to be men and women of prayer, individually and in community. This will result in blessings for ourselves, for the church, and for society. Amen.